Hello, I'd like to welcome all the listeners to the GPAS podcast channel. Why the hedgehog and the fox? Well, for all those who are not aware of this essay, The Hedgehog and the Fox is a philosophic book published in 1953 referring to the fox, who knows many things, and the hedgehog, who knows one big thing. One needs the other, and this is exactly the philosophy of GPA as well. Our big knowledge after the market comes directly from the experience of all the entrepreneurs, drivers, and actors in the automotive aftermarket. Our mission is to share this knowledge, because you are an entrepreneur and there's no one better than you who can give and drive the change into your organization. At GPA, we aim at helping you getting the right direction, and we support by bringing data insights that will help you to take decisions and to build a strategy and plans. On this first episode, we will offer you an overview of the global automotive aftermarket industry. What are the threatenings and what are the opportunities? I'll answer to these and more questions guided by an external curious voice. So let's talk, begin.
Hello, Almudena. Thank you for your introduction to GPAS podcast channel and for being here with me today. As you introduced, I'd like to start with one straight question. So can you tell us what is happening in the automotive aftermarket industry?
The automotive aftermarket industry has been mutating, is the term we could use, in the last years. And the borders between the OES and the IAM are very slim today. It's an evidence that these mutations are accelerating and that external factors like the climate change, the pandemics, and the driver's habits have been impacting this market. Also, the more specific factors are the legislations and the alternative technologies that, without question, are driving these changes.
All right. Can we maybe talk about the external factors? What are you referring to?
For our followers, I think it would not be a surprise that I mention, for instance, the global warming. That's been impacting a lot in the last years. In the last 5 years, we have witnessed major climate disruptions. For instance, if you remember in France last year, in 2022, the area burned in France was 7.5 times greater than the annual average of the previous 15 years. And if you look at Germany, for instance, and Belgium in 2021, there were floods that killed over 200 people. Another example is the pandemic, of course, who is not going to forget this. In 2020 and 2021, nearly 15 million people died from COVID. And then today, officially, this disease is still there. So we cannot say we haven't had external impact on these factors. And of course, last but not least, the war in between Ukraine and Russia since last year, February 2024, more exactly. And then if we could conclude, I'll say that climate change, pandemic, the war, etc., are all changing the world, and of course impacting ourselves and the industries, and also the automotive industry and the after sales, of course.
Yeah, it's in this scenario, like every industry is impacted by what is happening globally, but what is it specifically for our market? What does it mean?
Yes, indeed, we have specifically, I would say, there are two main things. The first thing is that, of course, we have been experiencing the petrol price increases, and this is having a direct impact on the car usage. And of course, we will deep dive in our talk in the specific measures and regulations that are also impacting the automotive industry. Let me go, for instance, to the regulations on a global scale. If we think about the mega cities, we notice all over the world that these cities have banned or are planning to ban the diesel engines. Today, this is something that that is not new. Still, the measures are increasing and becoming even harder. London, for instance, initiated this trend some years ago and is one of the cities with the most strict regulation. As you know, you have to pay like a kind of fee to enter into the city, £15. And today in London, you can hardly see individual vehicles, let's say. So you have mostly taxis and people who live in London, and most of the car park is electric. But this is in Europe. If you look into the Americas, you see, for instance, in Mexico, they plan to ban the diesel vehicles for 2025. And in Buenos Aires, in Argentina, where we might think, well, petrol is king. Yes, but the car, the city center, sorry, is also limited to 30 kilometers per hour, like in Paris. So all these measures are kind of getting more and more global. And the regulations are, of course, impacting our sector. In terms of microeconomical factors, and more specifically, if we analyze the behavior of the driver, we noticed that the driver's decision while acquiring a new car becomes a challenge. And why? Well, because today the end consumer, the driver, has different options in technologies. He can choose to have an electric car or a full electric EV or a hybrid plug-in or diesel. Or petrol, and all this impacted by the petrol and electricity cost, plus the technology choice, make it very difficult for a driver to select what car to buy. And in a recent study that GIPA did, the driver's study, this study revealed that 21% of the drivers did not know what vehicle to buy in the 5 markets in Europe. And among those who know, 25% are preferring petrol than hybrid. So we can see that the end consumers are not ready yet to make some changes. The EV, of course, is increasing. Hybrid, it's kind of stabilizing. And all this is impacted by, of course, the changes of regulations and also about incentives that the different countries give. If a country like Germany, for instance, incentivizes the hybrid technology, then it is pushing the sales of that technology. If it's changing, it's doing the opposite. And then for the time being, because of the pandemic and the lack of electronic components, we also have, as you know, a lack of cars, and the secondhand cars price is increasing also dramatically.
Yes, indeed. I was questioning as well about the availability of the cars. So how long do you have to wait in case you buy a new car? And in this case, for instance, what are the channels where drivers buy the cars, and like how and where they do that?
Yeah, it's a very good question. In fact, we are also seeing a change in the buying habits. So another trend on the OEM side is the increase of the purchase of a car online. And we see more and more platforms arising to fulfill this demand. Of course, the online buying is not new. The web has been increasing in the last 20 years. Still, for a car, it's a bit different. And more than that, today the IAM gets organized also to open the networks to the new brands. There are new brands like Chinese brands, for instance, coming into the European markets that are not present, that don't have a network. And what they're doing is getting organized to create partnerships with existing repair networks. For instance, Aways has created a partnership with Fuver that proposes to maintain the EV these EV cars, which is a good example to see how this market is also changing from a distribution and structural point of view.
Yes. So what's actually the figures of the car park in Europe and globally?
Yeah, how does the car park behave? In fact, we see that the car sales are decreasing. That's a heavy trend for the last for the last years, there's only one market with car park registrations are increasing is China, mainly plus 2%. But all around the globe, we know that the car registrations are decreasing. So that in theory is not very good news for the automotive industry. What could be better news is that we have a car park which is aging, which is beneficial for the aftermarket. And then we are having high increase in the car park average almost in all the countries.
So basically the cars registrations are decreasing in one part of the globe, and it's increasing on the other side. So in this scenario, what are the three main points we should highlight to conclude the extensive overview you just offered?
Yeah, in a nutshell, I'd say that, you know, no car park has decreased. Okay, that's good news because we have an inertia of the car park, and we have also less scrapping of the cars. The car park, the cars are also maintained, kept longer. Yeah, so on one side we have less car park registrations, and on the other side we have a car park that is stagnating because we are also keeping the cars longer. And then the average age is increasing. For instance, it's going from 11.9 to 12 or 12.2 in some countries, at least in the five European countries. And then that means that we will still have to repair those cars. If we look, for instance, in China, we see that the car park has increased. As I said, is the country where the car park has increased more. Yeah. And in others, like the US, is car park increased by 1%, values of 2022. Europe, 2%. Latin America, 8%. Yeah. So this is a bit balancing. So we can see still that even if it's stagnating, it's not decreasing, which is important. Because the internal combustion car park is aging, the cars on the road will need more maintenance, as I said. And then in the next 10 years, what we foresee at GIPA is that we will see this as an opportunity for the IAM and for nearly all product categories, with some exception on some parts, of course, related to diesel, because the diesel market share is highly decreasing. So for block plug diesel filters and of course parts related to diesel, this will be declining. Still, there are other businesses that will be generating, like the electric vehicle. And then we see that at least for a decade or more, we'll have an inertia of the car park. So if I can give you an example to illustrate this, if I can take France, for instance, I could say that we will need 20 years until the sales represent 100% of electric car park. So the car park will be fully impacted, you see? So it's not tomorrow that we will have a dramatic change. Then depending on the country, in Europe, of course, it can take more or less between 15 and 25 years if we want to reach a level of electric cars that is really representative, let's say. So in terms of car park and of structure, if we look to the future of the ICE, it is, of course, very different from one region to another. You can see basically three blocks in the globe. If you figure out a map, you will see that you see Europe, you would see Latin America, and you'll see the US. So the end of the internal combustion engine has been confirmed in Europe by 2035, UK 2030. But as you know, there's some lobbying at the moment trying to push back to 2040. In the US, the exception is California, 2035, America and China. There is no end for the ICE yet. And then in Argentina, the discussions are ongoing. Well, as you all know, last year in June in 2022, the European Parliament voted that to ban the sale of the new combustion engine cars in the European Union. Yeah, and we all know that at the moment this is on the table to find alternatives to that, because car manufacturers and parts manufacturers are all in agreement that this might be a challenge and that we should have a bit more time. So some countries like Germany, for instance, have also decided to open a bit and to not forbid those cars as long as we can find alternatives with e-fuels. So we can see that, of course, the automotive industry is really pushing to drive to that change. Still, there are challenges that from a time perspective are too heavy to conduct in the next years. So in a short term, the increase is impressive in terms of car registration level. But of course, we can see that on the electric part, today, the European countries have approximately between 2 and 4% of their car park, which is electric, full electric. Okay, the car registrations are very high. In some countries, they reach even 60% in Europe. But of course, if you translate that into the car park structure, it is still below two digits in most of the European countries, except, of course, in the Scandics and more precisely in Norway. So that's a bit the summary in from a car park point of view and car registrations point of view.
Yeah, and that's really a lot what is happening in our market, from external global factors to the evolution of the industry, thanks also to some trends that are floating around our market since a few years now. So I think that all this is offering threats and opportunities to the automotive aftermarket business. So just to sum up and to conclude, what are for you the three main factors that we should consider for our business?
Yes, indeed. I like to maybe name four key factors and maybe focus in Europe, which will be the first impacted market by the car park changes. Europe will need to be prepared to the car park changes sooner than other continents. Why? Well, we first saw the first reason is because the car park is becoming more electric, and it's clear that we are experiencing a dramatic drop in the internal engine car parks registrations combined with an increase of hybrid and electric car registrations, of course, pushed more or less by the different incentives. The second reason is the restriction in European cities. These legislations, of course, are pushing the drivers to buy or not to buy, or to use or not to use the car in those cities, and then push to buy a certain type of cars. The third important reason is to look at is the governments who promote alternative engines with incentives. Yeah? And this is a clear reason that is pushing the electric cars in the different countries. And last but not least, I would like to name the energy cost. Of course, this is having a clear impact in the car usage, and not only, also in the on the parts production and the car parts production, the successive crisis in gas, petrol, and with the prices rising, it's heavily impacting also the industry. So a very high speed of renewing the European car park more than in other regions, and all these impacted by the four key reasons that I just mentioned.
Thank you, Milena, for these insights. And to conclude, can we maybe know where we can find more information and who we should contact for specific details on a country or on the global picture?
Yes, thank you. So maybe to mention that GIPA operates in more than 35 countries and that we have a global footprint, but more importantly, we have local experts who are fully specialized in the aftermarket industry. And you can find more information on our website, GIPA.eu.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And let's stay tuned on your podcast channel then.